We're still more than 18 months away from the next general election, but candidates for federal office already have to focus on raising funds to increase the viability of their candidacies. In the race to take on incumbent Republican Senator Martha McSally, former astronaut Commander Mark Kelly has collected $4 million via 58,000 contributors. Kelly has vowed not to accept money from corporate PACs, and today he received an early endorsement from End Citizens United. And Mark Kelly's with us in studio to talk about that and other topics. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So let's talk about the corporate money and the corporate PACs. You've taken a vow to not take any of this money. How significant is the endorsement you got today?
It's important to me and in my campaign. Corporate money in politics affects everything in a dramatically and negative way. And, I want to represent Arizonans and not represent corporations. So that's why I vowed not to take this money.
Now, we know years ago when late Senator McCain tried to have campaign finance reform, it had high hopes, and then it didn't really do what a lot of people hoped for it. Do you think there's actually promise to do this, or will people take this seriously? Whether the public wants it or not, will elected officials take it seriously?
I hope they do. I will if I'm fortunate enough to be elected. John McCain, his name is on the McCain-Feingold Act, which tried to get corporate money out of politics. It was somewhat has been gutted over the years. It's interesting that after a background check bill on stronger gun laws happened in the United States Senate in April 2013, when it failed, John McCain was one of the Republican senators that voted for it. First thing he said to me next time I saw him was, "I think I need to dust off my next campaign finance reform bill."
Interesting.
And based on getting corporate money out of politics.
When you think about making a decision like this not to accept corporate money, PAC money, how much do you look at presidential candidates, for example, who have made the same decision not to do that, or somebody like Beto O'Rourke who decided in his last Senate race not to do that? And in terms of fundraising, at least, a lot of these folks have had a reasonable amount of success.
Well, I'm not looking to them or anybody as a guide to this. This is 100% my decision, because when and if I'm elected, I want to represent Arizonans and not, care about what some, company in some other state thinks about or think I should do. And the best way to do that is to not accept corporate PAC checks.
Mark, let's move on to immigration and border security, kind of a big issue in Arizona. And we saw Vice President Mike Pence back in Arizona last week. What's your stand in terms of what needs to be done? What's the balancing point there?
Well, Washington, D.C. has certainly failed us on this issue. We have spent just on immigration enforcement since 1986, we've spent $260 billion. And what have we gotten for it? We've got this problem that that Washington, D.C. has been unable to handle. It's clear, we've got a crisis on the border over the last month. 100,000 new apprehensions is numbers we haven't seen in 10 years. We should look to the experts on this. And the Tucson sector chief, Roy Villarreal, says what he thinks we need is more infrastructure, right, and more staffing and more technology. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel this should be approached.
When you talk about more infrastructure, does that include physical barriers, or maybe the wall that President Trump has talked about?
Well, we certainly don't need 2,000 miles of wall across the entire U.S. border. I've spent time on that border in some places like Yuma and Douglas and Nogales. A physical barrier, a wall, makes sense. In other remote areas, it doesn't. I could tell you this, if NASA was asked to work on this problem, they wouldn't give you a 17th century solution to a 21st century problem. They would apply technology. And I think that's in line probably with what the ranchers, would like at the southern border, the ones that I know.
When you talk about the situation currently, there has been some talk out of Washington, specifically from the Trump administration, about changes to the asylum process and changes to laws dealing with who is eligible for asylum, what constitutes eligibility. Do you think that the current system is working? Do you think any tweaks need to be made to that process?
Well, the current situation certainly isn't working, and Washington is not addressing this problem in a smart way. Having said that, we have immigrants coming to the U.S. border seeking asylum. Some of them, I really, strongly believe that they have, their cases should be heard. We need more immigration judges at the southern border to handle this. We also need, the Border Patrol needs the resources to police the border.
Mark, this leads us into that sort of general topic of bipartisanship, which is in order to get true immigration reform, you're going to need both sides working on it. And I'm not saying you're taking a page out of this playbook, but a lot of people talked about Senator Sinema running a campaign that indicated certainly she had her Democratic background, but she tried to run as someone who would represent all of Arizona. If you were to be in the Senate, how important would it be for you to work both sides of the aisle in a sense that in order to get things done and be less partisan? A lot of people are sick of that.
Well, it's not from a playbook. Mm-hmm. I just strongly believe that Arizonans deserve to have an independent representation in the United States Senate. You know, John McCain certainly showed that at times, was an independent voice. I think that's incredibly important. If we had more people crossing the aisle, we could get more things done. And that's just, you know, who I am as a person. I wouldn't want to go to the United States Senate to, you know, spin my wheels and not accomplish anything. And the only way you can get real reforms and do the work for the American people is to do it in a bipartisan way.
Now, the work you've done on gun reform, have you found, so it doesn't seem like the votes have been there, but have you found behind the scenes that people are receptive to that sort of attitude? Or do they say, you know, maybe not, I'm taking money from this or that? I guess I'm wondering from that standpoint, do you think there is a spirit enough of bipartisanship if the tide starts to turn that way?
Well, the votes are there. You know, HR 8 in the House of Representatives background check bill had bipartisan support, passed with 50 extra votes, had Republicans vote for it. In 2013, the Manchin-Toomey background check bill, again, John McCain voted for that background check legislation. So it's there. It's just a matter of, you know, do you have enough support at the right time? Can you pass a piece of legislation in the House and the Senate, get it reconciled, get it to the president's desk? That's sometimes a complicated, you know, thing to accomplish.
Indeed.
Do you think that it would matter in terms of working with both sides of the aisle, whether or not, because obviously you would have a D next to your name. You would be in the Democratic caucus. Does it matter if you would be in the majority or the minority in terms of whether you would be able to, you think, work with members of the other party to try to accomplish your goals?
It wouldn't matter to me with, you know, working across the aisle
whether I'm able to get stuff done.
Yeah, but yeah. Certainly it's always better to be in a majority than the minority. I mean, you want your party to be, and you know, be the party that has the influence, and then you personally have more influence, and then you can accomplish things, you know, for the country, and you know, for Arizona. So, it's easier to do that from the majority, but that wouldn't you know, influence me in any way whether I would be willing to work with Republicans.
Mark, one other big issue I want to get to, and I don't have much time left, is climate change. And you mentioned how talking about the experts when it came to immigration. You have a scientific background, having been in space. How big a concern for you is climate change, especially to folks in Arizona?
It's a big concern, especially here, especially Phoenix. You know, I've seen this planet from, you know, low Earth orbit a number of times. There are things you can see that have changed. I flew my first flight in 2001, my last one in 2011, and I could see some changes. Deforestation, the Amazon, other rainforests around the planet, it's pretty shocking, and that's more carbon into our atmosphere. And since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, we have put a lot of carbon dioxide and monoxide, and you know, certainly it has benefited our economy to do this. But we've got about a decade or two to try to turn the curve around on global warming. If we don't do anything, by the year 2100, our planet will be 7 degrees hotter. And what that means for Arizona is more heat, more drought, and less economic growth. Clock is running out on this. And somebody who comes from a somewhat scientific background, I'm an engineer, you know, by training. I'm a pilot. I was an astronaut. We need to address this problem based on, you know, science and data and facts. And for Arizona, this could be a great opportunity. It really could. It could result in more jobs if we really embrace, you know, renewable energy and solar power and invest in reducing the cost of renewables, battery technology. This could be a big win for the state.
Well, are there specific things you mentioned, battery technology and investing in renewables? Are there specific policies you would like to pursue that would have the effect of trying to sort of get the train back into the station on climate change, but also maybe benefit the state?
Well, research and development into renewable technology, not only solar, but, you know, wind, hydroelectric, there are other options too. Reducing the cost of electrical storage, right? Batteries. If we can if we can reduce the cost of storing energy, it makes the decision to have solar panels maybe on your house or for businesses, it makes more sense to do that. Tax credits for solar as an example. I mean, there are things we can do to make it a smart economic choice for the consumer to go to renewable energy.
Democratic U.S. Senate candidate, Commander Mark Kelly. Mark, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.